morning, everybody. Welcome into First Take. Jay Williams with us. Also, Monica McNutt is going to be there. She is. Monica, I guess you didn't get the all black memo?
Yeah, we're here with the Monica.
Kind of. I got a little
black.
Some
stripes.
In here.
Some black,
you know,
stripes.
We like Destiny's Child. We had to coordinate.
She would have to be the lead singer. We'd be the backups, right? Because we have to be, you know, she has to be in the forefront with the color combo. I'm Charlie Arnold.
I guess so.
We also have Dan Orlovsky and also Damian Woody going to be here to talk some NFL playoffs in just a bit. But let's start off with the NBA, because what a game it was last night. And the interesting part is, both of you, is that almost every other team would always say they would prefer home court advantage. But for the Nets, their advantage is actually on the road. Now, the big three back in action for Brooklyn last night for just the second time this season. This time in Chicago versus the Bulls, and it was a blowout, 138-112. And at one point, the Nets were up by 38 points. James Harden pouring in 25 and 16 assists, while Kevin Durant had a team-high 27 points and 9 assists. Kyrie Irving, he only scored 9, but was a great facilitator. So this big three chemistry looking good.
Are you surprised at how quickly, I mean, you guys are back in sync like that?
Nah, like we're that good. Like we got a chance to be that good.
In some kind of fashion, we'll see Kai play.
Yeah, I'm gonna give him a shot if I got to.
All right, so Monica, with that win, the Nets just 1.5 games back in the East. So tell me, how scary is this version of the Nets? Mm.
Charlie, Jay, this was horrifying. This was a scary movie, like get the mask out. I mean, this is the realization of everything that the Nets were supposed to be last year. And I think, look, the offense is a given. James Harden, Kevin Durant, top scoring duo in the league right now. And then you throw in Kyrie Irving and all that he brings to the table. The scoring is a given. But what most impresses me, Jay, is what they're doing defensively and the way that these role guys have continued to emerge. Kessler, Edwards, Cam Thomas, not that you need a ton from them, but they are in exactly the right place. They're learning day to day by playing alongside of these superstars, and they're executing to a T. In that third quarter, Jay, I'm watching, and I think over the course of 4 minutes, the only open look, the only clean look that the Nets gave up to the Bulls was, I believe, a Vucevic three from the top of the key. Otherwise, they were swarming defensively. They had consecutive possessions where they got defensive stops that are high level with block shots, or, of course, defensive rebounds would still count. And so, to me, you talk about this team leveling up on the defensive end and putting it together. I thought that the Brooklyn Nets were special with or without Kyrie. With Kyrie, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Monica, I would say it's the best scoring trio that the league has ever seen as it relates to dynamic playmakers all on the court at the same time. But I want to move this ball down the field a little bit, because I saw something last night that made me think about it, and it's been a conversation that's been, you know, building momentum. And I go into like this, you know, obviously they're a different team when Kyrie's on the floor. You even heard James Harden allude to it in the presser. We didn't have the sound, but he said the sooner we can get Kyrie back for home games, the better we'll be, because we'll get to build more continuity. But if you're Josiah, and let's say that you get down to a point, the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, you get down to a point where this doesn't happen, where Kyrie's allowed to play home games. When you get to the playoffs, let's say the Nets have the number one overall seed. If I'm Josiah, or me personally, if I were the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, I would be willing to take the fine for letting Kyrie Irving play in those 16 games for my team to win a championship. Now, I know that Josiah has been publicly known for stating that he wants everybody to be vaccinated. I understand that. But first off, I think the rule is a little bit, it's blown out of my mind. It's so silly that players who are unvaccinated can come in and play inside the Barclays Center.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Or Kyrie last night, who's unvaccinated, can then come in and play in the United Center. But if you're a part of the home team, you can't play. Do you know what the fine system is, Monica, for this? The first time the player plays, so if Kyrie were to play, they get a slap on the wrist. The second time, it's a $1,000 fine. The third time, it's a $2,000 fine. The fourth time, it's a $5,000 fine from every point moving forward. That would mean if you were to play 16 home games, if every single series were maxed to a seven-game series, Joe Tsai would have to pay $68,000.
Nothing.
For Kyrie Irving to be back on the floor to play to win a world championship. I don't know if it got down to that, Charlie, why you wouldn't do that.
I think it really would just come to them walking it back once again. I mean, they already had said at the beginning of the season that they were going to let Kyrie play at all in the part-time capacity, but now they've said, okay, fine. And then it's to walk it back even more just probably doesn't make them look the best, but at this point, like you said, I think it's completely worth it to go on and win a title.
Well, I just feel like everything's changing, so I'll give you another scenario real quick, Monica. So, like, my daughter and my family, we had COVID over the holiday, right? My two kids and my wife. Mm-hmm. And my daughter tests positive. And all of her symptoms were gone after five, six days, right? But her school wouldn't allow her to come back mm-hmm. to school until she had a negative test. Well, now the school is sitting there saying, well, she's showing no symptoms, you know, and she's still positive to a degree, but we'll allow her back to school. So I don't know where we're going to be in 2.5 months from now. Maybe the league will let it go and we'll let players play who are unvaccinated in different cities, the municipalities in these different cities, Chicago, New York, LA.
Well, we have a new mayor in New York City now.
Things can change.
So things could definitely change.
Listen, guys, in terms of winning, you paying all this money for these guys to be on your roster, $68,000 is a drop in the bucket. That yes. totally makes sense. I also do, although I have been a proponent for the vaccination, I do find it odd that considering Joe Tsai's stance on the vaccine, that it's odd, but I kind of get it. I think it's unlikely that an owner draws their line here when you talk about a championship that is not just in the conversation, but is legitimately within the grasp of this roster as currently constructed. The whole pandemic thing, it evolves day in and day out. I will say this, Kyrie has never misled us, and if he proceeds as an unvaccinated person should, then there is very little to have qualms with.
Okay, well, last night the Nets entered this game 0-8 against the top four teams in each conference. So last night, obviously, that changed. So we're looking now at the other side, at the Bulls. So being the fact that they were completely blown out by the Nets, which, by the way, only had Kyrie back for the second time this season, would you still say that the Bulls are legit contenders, Jay?
Yes, they are contenders. The reality is that when you have Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden on the floor together, they're going to be a little bit behind in that category. But I'm giving the Bulls all the credit in the world, right? This team that last year had 31 wins, and they're already on pace to be exponentially better than that. Last night, Alex Caruso did not play. He's still in health and safety protocol. And I know people are saying, well, Alex Caruso, right? But, like, that still is a defensive stopper that you can have somebody who has relentless effort. He was one of the main reasons why the Lakers actually won a championship a couple of years ago, right? So, but I still think they're a piece away, Monica. And it makes me start thinking, I'm not willing to give up Patrick Williams. He's hurt. Right. But I think he's a bona fide piece for the value that we have him at as being a Bulls fan and somebody, if you're looking at Arturos, who is running the Bulls. But I do look at a guy like Coby White and say, OK, we have a lot of guards on this team already. Like, could we utilize Coby White and maybe a draft pick for the likes of a Jeremy Grant? Now, I'm not saying that's going to get us over the hump. And obviously there's some cap issues that you talk about with salaries, but still, like, having a tall, athletic wing defender that can go to the likes of against of a Kevin Durant, a Lonzo Ball that can go against the likes of a Kyrie Irving or a James Harden, and an Alex Caruso that can guard the same as well. I think that will put the Bulls closer towards their goal of winning a championship and coming out of the East. I still don't know if it's enough to get them over the hump, but I don't know if there's anything the Bulls can do that can get them over the hump if those three are on the floor playing at a high level together.
Yeah, I mean, the hump is that monster trio. And when you look at the Eastern Conference standing, for me, it's still the Nets and the Bucks and kind of everybody else. And so the Bulls fall into that category. I got to say, though, Jay, I love the idea of Jeremy Grant, especially considering his familial ties to the Chicago Bulls organization. I don't know if that's actually viable. I know Detroit is very excited about what his upside is. I will say this. We knew that even early in the season, when we got excited about the Chicago Bulls, that depth was going to be an issue. A piece certainly would help, but I think this group has to be able to get more consistent scoring out of guys not named DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine in particular, right? Like yesterday, over the course of that run, they did a good job of attacking the paint. I think they got some decent looks. The nature of the NBA game is that you're likely going to be contested on a shot, but there were no second chance opportunities. And perhaps Patrick Williams would help to assuage some of that, but I think they have enough, but there is such a small margin of error. Should DeRozan have an off night, LaVine have an off night, maybe Lonzo Ball's a little bit off. There's just such a small room for error for this group. I don't think that they're going to out-contend the top two teams in the East, in my mind, in the Bucks and the Nets.
Mm-hmm. The only reason I say Jeremy Grant, having that tall wing defender, somebody you can use for Giannis, somebody that you can use for Kevin Durant, I think that's a viable piece that can help this team. But they're definitely on their way.
They're on their way, and actually Kevin Durant paid Chicago a really great compliment last night. He said for us to be able to go in to Chicago and win in the fashion we did speaks huge because Chicago seems to be really rallying around this team. So he said Bulls basketball is back. So coming from KD, that definitely means a lot. Okay, so you two, see you in just a bit. We are getting to football right now because on Sunday the Cowboys will be taking on the 49ers at Jerry's World to open postseason action. The 49ers coming off a huge OT win over the Rams, while Dak Prescott led the Cowboys to victory over the Eagles with 5 touchdown passes and no interceptions. A performance that earned Dak NFC Player of the Week for the 3rd time this season, and his head coach Mike McCarthy is not surprised.
I think one of Dak's gifts is he's the same. He's the same man every single day. I mean, his preparation never wavers. He was in here yesterday doing some personal work, you know, fundamentally. So he's got a plan all the time. So he's extremely consistent and really just needs to adhere to that. You know, I think the most important, not only for Dak, for all of our guys, is, you know, just be who you are. And we just want to be the best. We want the best you this week. And that's what we're working towards. But, yeah, Dak's approach is I don't see any change at all. Just being around the meetings this morning. So that's clearly a strength of his.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely work ethic is consistent. The team, not so much, but McCarthy's Cowboys will host the 49ers on Sunday at 4:30 Eastern, the second of 2 NFC games on Sunday's slate. And we'll get our first taste of playoff football on a Monday night as the Rams and Cardinals square off in a rubber match. All right. And with that, Dan Orlovsky and Damian Woody are here. So, D. Wood, which home team is most likely to lose in the wild card?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, when you look at the opponent that they're going up against, the San Francisco 49ers, for me, it's the level of physicality that the 49ers bring to the table. You know, we talk so much about with the Dallas Cowboys, the speed that they have, particularly on the defense. You know, obviously Randy Gregory, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Michael Parsons. Well, guess what neutralizes speed? Power. The running attack. The rushing attack that Kyle Shanahan has these guys running. They know how. Kyle Shanahan is a master at exploiting weaknesses in your defense, matchups in your defense. And when you look at their offensive line, they got one of the best groups up in the National Football League. Deebo Samuel, to me, is one of the most remarkable players in the National Football League. He had a historic year. He's a move. I call him an offensive weapon. Yes, he's a wide receiver, but he's really an offensive weapon. The way they deploy him offensively, whether it be in the backfield at the running back position, out wide at the wide receiver, this dude is a running back in a wide receiver's body because he wants all the smoke, whether it's running the ball or catching the ball at the wide receiver position. I think that's going to be very hard for the Dallas Cowboys to match up physically. And then on the other side of the ball, what the San Francisco 49ers bring on the defensive line, you're talking about Eric Armstead, Nick Bosa. Those guys are relentless coming at you. And what we've seen from the Dallas Cowboys the second half of the season, there's one word for it: inconsistent. They've been inconsistent across the board, whether it's the offensive line, Dak Prescott, the rushing attack, passing game. They've been inconsistent. Yes, their defense has been playing good all year long. But I think in order to beat the San Francisco 49ers, they're going to have to be something that they haven't been throughout the second half of the season, and that's be consistent for 3 hours plus to beat this physicality that the San Francisco 49ers are going to bring to Jerry's World.
What's inconsistent is that color scheme you got going on with that
collar,
shirt,
and tie. I knew someone was
going to
say something about
you
that.
You crazy. This is popping right here. What you talking about?
I feel like
I would expect
it.
You to understand that.
I feel like you're going out for a 4 o'clock.
I would expect you to understand it.
I feel like you're going out for like a 4 o'clock in the morning run, and you just wanted to make sure everyone saw you with that highlighter tie you got on.
We see him.
Oh, what? Listen, I agree with you with the Cowboys. I do. I'm giving you two teams, the Cowboys and the Cincinnati Bengals. Cowboys, I agree with a lot of the points that you make. I think Kyle Shanahan, you know, you mentioned he exploits the weaknesses. I also think Kyle, so I played under Kyle about 10 years ago, and he does a lot of things really well. I think one of the best things he does well is identify who's your best player on defense. And how many different ways can he get that best player away from the football? And he's going to watch Dallas's tape and say it's Micah Parsons. And so how many different ways is he going to use motion or a jet sweep, counters, misdirection to get Micah Parsons just away from the ball? And I wouldn't be surprised if Micah Parsons matches up against Deebo Samuel in situations in this game. And Kyle using Deebo as a kind of a decoy, so to speak, to get Micah away from the football. And he could work Kittle, or he could work a guy like Ayuk, or players in their offense, Jennings as well. So I think there's going to be moments when he doesn't even block Micah Parsons. And he's going to give kind of a read, a zone read, or a put him in conflict and really kind of make him at least try to make him play slow when it comes to decision-making and not allow him to just run to the football. So I'm really excited to watch that. I think also this, the San Francisco 49ers offense is the had the second most explosive plays in the NFL this year, both run and pass. Explosive play, 20-plus yards in the air, 12-plus yards on the ground. You know who defensively left in the playoffs gave up the most explosive plays in football this year? The Dallas Cowboys defense. And that's a weakness for them, and it's a strength for the San Francisco 49ers. I still think it'll be a fantastic football game, and I think we've all said this. The 49ers are a bad matchup for everybody going into the playoffs. So I do think it's the Cowboys. I'd also say the Bengals, though, and I love the Bengals, and I think they're a special team offensively. But Joe Burrow was sacked 51 times this season. The only reason that this team is in the playoffs is because Joe Burrow was probably the best quarterback in football when it came to, like, evading sacks, making guys miss. And Max Crosby leads the NFL in pressures. You know, like, if Joe doesn't have a remarkable game when it comes to making guys in that four-man rush miss, the Bengals' offense could be in trouble because their pass protection unit is still not good. It just gets masked by Joe being spectacular. So as much as I love Cincinnati, and as much as, you know, last time these two teams played is a 3-point game with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. It ended up being a blowout because it got away from them. So I that game has scared me all week if I was a Cincinnati Bengals fan, but I still think it's the Cowboys that are the most likeliest.
Okay, so Dan, let's talk about the Cowboys, because we talk about big playmakers on both teams. We have Micah Parsons and Deebo Samuel. So who do you believe is going to have the bigger impact in this game?
Oh, it's Micah Parsons. I don't think the Cowboys can win if Micah doesn't have a sensational football game. And I just went on about how Kyle is going to at least try to impact and or affect him. But this is a guy that is the runaway defensive rookie of the year. And he was in the conversation, and probably still is, for defensive player of the year. He's so good when it comes to defending the run because of his speed. Right, so you're talking about a 49ers offense that likes to get the ball to the perimeter in their outside zone run game. If you don't get hands on Micah Parsons as an offensive line, and Woody, you know this better than anybody, it ain't going to happen for you as an offense. And then as a pass rusher, he could wreck games. You know, I try to do a good job when I'm on television of giving people offensive perspectives and what I would do if I was a play caller situations. I have no idea what I would do with Micah Parsons. I've tried to sit here and think about it, and I don't know how I would try to handle him, because I think he's that, I don't want to say impossible of a player to try and slow down and stop. And I think that's a big issue. So if Micah Parsons has, you know, kind of a transcendent performance, the Cowboys win this football game. If Micah Parsons is minimized, I think the Cowboys don't have a chance.
So a lot of pressure on him, I see.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I agree with a lot of points you said, but I'm going to take the other side. I'm going to say Deebo Samuel, because as great as Micah Parsons has been this year, and he's been phenomenal, Deebo Samuel has had a historic NFL season this year. He's the only receiver in history that's had over 1,300 receiving yards and over 300 rushing yards in a season. I mean, that's just phenomenal. This is a guy that he's a movable piece. Just like I talked about a little while ago, he's an offensive weapon. Like, Dan, I'm not a big stats guy. I don't get into stats a whole lot. But, I mean, like, listen, there's a couple things that just jump out to me as far as Deebo Samuel's concerned. This is a guy that's averaging over 10 yards after the catch, meaning he catches the ball and then he gains another 10 yards after that. That to me is mentality. You know what I mean? Like, that's where when you talk about Deebo Samuel, you're talking about a guy that's a running back in a wide receiver body. When you're able to do things like that And then he's third in the league when he's playing, when he's rushing the ball, third in leagues in yards per carry at when he's lined up as a running back.
Yeah.
So, like, this is a guy, like, you talk about eyes on Michael Parsons, and there are going to be a lot of eyes on Michael Parsons. There's going to be a lot of eyes from the Dallas defense. Where is Deebo Samuels? We need to find him, just like you alluded to when we were talking about in the last segment, decoy. Like, you can do so many things with Deebo Samuels that's going to unlock other people in that offense.
Wood, I think Deebo Samuel is like our era's or our generation's like Roger Craig. You know, Roger Craig back in the day, like, he was a guy that did everything. You want him as a pass catcher? Great. You want him as a runner? Great. It's very Marshall Faulk-ish as well when it comes to, like, his ability to do both at such a high level. I mentioned it before. I think there's going to be opportunities but Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, is going to go Micah Parsons. You've got Deebo Samuel. I don't care where he goes. You've got Deebo Samuel. They're obviously going to be in man coverage in those situations, and that's why it's going to be fascinating to watch. I think both of those guys are going to have a tremendous impact on the football game, obviously. But if one of those guys has a more transcendent performance, that's the team that's going to win the football game. If Deebo goes for over 150 plus yards all-purpose or 200 plus all-purpose yards, like, the 49ers are going to win. As long as Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have, like, one of those why did you or how did you just throw one of those interceptions, the 49ers will win the football game. But Micah Parsons could have one of those games where he has 15 tackles, two tackles for a loss, two sacks. Like, he could have a tremendous game and totally wreck the football game.
Now, Deebo Samuel sure is special. He's had eight rushing touchdowns this season. That is double the total of the top five receivers who have finished each season since 2000. So, pretty remarkable stat right there. But you know what? The Cowboys, they're looking at going far in the playoffs. They haven't won the Super Bowl since 1995. The Bucs, on the other hand, they just won last year. And good news for them, they're getting healthier just in time for the postseason with running back Leonard Fournette, linebacker Lavonte David, and running back Giovanni Bernard all being designated to return from IR yesterday. The expectation is all three will be playing on Sunday when the Bucs host the Eagles. And more good news on their front. Both outside linebackers Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul returned to practice yesterday after missing the last two games with injury. So, okay, this is all very good news for Tampa Bay. Their health is looking very much up. Dan, what is more likely then? A Bucs repeat or an upset against Philly?
Bucks repeat. And if my wife is watching, I'm sorry. I know you're an Eagles girl. I get all that. But, I think that the reality is this. Tampa Bay has something in the playoffs that no other team does outside of their quarterback. Their offensive line continuity is real. It's the best unit. I said this 6 weeks ago. It's the best and most trustworthy unit heading into the playoffs. Those five offensive linemen are the key to everything that Tampa Bay does. Number two, their quarterback led the league in passing by almost 1,000 yards. The reason he led the league in passing by almost 1,000 yards, or a great reason why, is because of the performance of that offensive line. And I think people are still kind of counting out the fact that he's got two gold jacket winners still to throw the football to. Gronk obviously won, and I think Mike Evans, when it's all said and done, is going to be a Hall of Fame wide receiver. So because of that offensive line, I still believe in that football team. Because their quarterback still led the league in passing by almost 1,000 yards, I still believe in that football team. And because of Gronk and Mike Evans, I still think their offense can be dynamic. I love the Eagles. I think that there is a formula, a very unique one, to go and knock off Tampa Bay. They got to go for over 250 yards rushing. And I think it's a tremendous story what they have accomplished this year. It's the most impressive story this season for me. But they're 0-6 versus playoff teams this year. So the Eagles are a good football team, but they are not likely or good enough to kind of knock off Tampa Bay. I still think Tampa Bay can go and make it back to the Super Bowl and win.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to go with the Eagles, knocking off the Bucs as more likely. Here's the reason. Here's the reason. I mean, think about this. We're talking about a scenario where one game between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Eagles, as opposed to going as a wild card team, you're winning three times to get to the Super Bowl and then win the Super Bowl. So that's, what, four games that you have to win. And here's what I'm going to say about the Philadelphia Eagles. Yes, they hadn't beaten a winning team. I get all of that. But, Dan, you know, and I know this as well, this Eagles team has evolved throughout the season, has evolved. Their rushing attack is real with Jalen Hurts. And the one thing that we saw from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, especially down the stretch, this is not the same rush defense that everyone has been accustomed to seeing from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They were giving up quite a few rushing yards to opposing teams. And we know, especially on the edges, that's where the Philadelphia Eagles, in my opinion, will live in this game. If the weather is going to be what they're talking about, which is rain, thunderstorms, that plays right into, you know, a team like Philadelphia that wants to run the football in adverse conditions. They're not going to be banging their head up against, you know, running up the middle with Ndamukong Suh and Vita Vea. They're going to try to get on the edge with the RPO run, you know, rushing attack, and obviously with Jalen Hurts, who averaged, you know, more yards per carry than any other quarterback in the National Football League. So I think that the Philadelphia Eagles defensively, they're going to play a type of game where they're not going to let people get behind them. They'd rather have Tom Brady earn it the hard way. And we know the Philadelphia Eagles up front, as much as we talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their offensive line, which is very good, the Eagles have a very good front as well. So I think this is going to be a matchup in the trenches, rushing attack. We know Tampa doesn't run the ball.
Are you taking Philly? Are you taking Philly in the game? Are you saying that
you're
just...
No, I'm not taking Philly.
You're saying that Philly's more likely to have an upset.
Okay. The question was, is there a better what's the better chance? Philly in the upset or Tampa repeating in the Super Bowl? And in this scenario, I'm going to go with Philly in the upset.
All right, so like I said, I think there's a very unique formula for the Eagles to pull this off. You know, we kind of talked about this on NFL Live in regards to Tampa Bay's run defense. You know, when I was in Houston, our coach Gary Kubiak, we would always have to go play against the Indianapolis Colts. And he had this philosophy that when the Colts did not have Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney on the field, we were going to throw the football every play. We were going to run no huddle offense, and we were not going to substitute. And we're going to throw every play because that's what we felt was our best opportunity to go throw the football and score points. And I think that it could be a very similar philosophy for the Eagles when Vita Vea is not on the field. If Vita Vea is not on the field, the Eagles should run the ball every snap. And they should play no huddle football, almost like a college team does, get to the line of scrimmage with crazy tempo, and they should not sub. If there's a lot of opportunity to do that, I think they can run the football on them with some success. I still go back to this, Wood, and I love a lot of the parts of the Philadelphia Eagles defense. I don't think that they have somebody that you can feel confident enough to slow down Rob Gronkowski. I think Darius Slay can, like, hold his own against Mike Evans. I do. But I don't believe they have anybody that can slow down Rob Gronkowski in the middle of the field. So while the Eagles offense can have the opportunity to run the ball, I don't believe that their defense is going to be good enough over the course of four quarters to slow down a Hall of Famer in Rob Gronkowski. So, I love it. I love the Eagles story. I love that they got in. It's been an impressive season. But I can't sit here and think that Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts are going to go beat Tom Brady. I can't sit here and kind of go on television and vouch that that's going to happen. I just believe it's so unlikely.
Hey, listen, we're talking about the playoffs here. We're talking about the playoffs. We've seen crazy things happen in the postseason again. I'm going to say it again.
Let me ask you this.
If this week is any indication of what it was like last weekend, we're in for a treat.
If the Eagles beat the Buccaneers, would you not say it's one of the biggest upsets in the last 20 years of in the NFL? Certainly of Tom Brady's career. Like, I would view that as one of the biggest upsets, certainly since I've been paying attention or been a part of the NFL. Like, this would be an enormous upset.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Considering what we thought that what the Philadelphia Eagles were going to be coming into the season and going up against Tom Brady, you know, down in Tampa. Absolutely. But I'm just saying, it's the postseason. Anything can happen in the postseason.
Yeah, it would be definitely even more of a surprise if the Tampa Bay Bucs were fully healthy, which they're not. But still, yeah, definitely would be a surprise. But, Dan, like you said, the Eagles are 0-6 against playoff teams coming into this matchup. So statistics definitely on the side of the reigning Super Bowl champions.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, The majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
In the first ever Monday night wild card game right here on ESPN and ABC, it's the Cardinals and Rams. Matthew Stafford is in search of his first playoff win in his 13-year NFL career, and Kyler Murray in search of the same. Arizona head coach Cliff Kingsbury has high expectations for his quarterback at SoFi Stadium.
I think this is what he's been waiting for 3 years. He's a guy who you know wants to be playing for something and knows he's playing for something, and this is his first shot at the playoffs, and I expect him to play probably the best game of his career, and I know he's going to give it everything he's got.
Singing Kyler's praises, Damian, should the Rams be worried about the Cardinals?
Absolutely. Absolutely, they should be worried about the Cardinals, because this is the third time that they're playing as divisional opponents. They split the season series. Okay, the Cardinals are 8-1 on the road. Yes. I mean, listen, for anyone to sit here and say, even with DeAndre Hopkins not available for this game, to say that they shouldn't, you know, they shouldn't have to worry about the Arizona Cardinals, that's foolish, because these teams know each other too well. We see what Matthew Stafford and company is doing over there with the Los Angeles Rams, with the amount of turnovers that he's been, you know, throwing to the opposing team, how they had this meltdown last week against the San Francisco 49ers at home. So they're not a sure thing. We're not going to sit here and call the Los Angeles Rams some type of juggernaut or something that can't be beat against a divisional opponent in the Arizona Cardinals, like I said, that split the season series. They got Kyler Murray. And listen, we know that the production, particularly in the red zone, has been a little bit of an issue for Arizona Cardinals down the stretch. But Kyler Murray is still a dual-threat quarterback, a playmaker that defense is going to have to contend with, whether it's inside or outside the pocket. So, absolutely, they're going to have to worry about the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray in this game.
I love how you say, like, they had this meltdown versus the San Francisco 49ers, but then 20 minutes ago, you picked the Cowboys as a team likeliest to lose to the San Francisco 49ers. Like, they're make up. You think the 49ers are a really good team or a bum team? Which one do you like?
I wasn't talking down on the 49ers. But stop deflecting from your boy Matthew Stafford and the Rams. That's what you're doing.
We'll get into that. Listen, I think you respect the Cardinals. You're not worried about the Cardinals if you're the Los Angeles Rams. You respect them. To Woody's point, this is your division, but you're the better football team. Like, I'll ask you, Wood, and let me get through all these lists of names till you answer. So, listen, first of all, the Cardinals offensively are a drastically different team without DeAndre Hopkins. This goes back to the moment when he got injured, and I felt many people were disrespecting how phenomenal of a player he is. So what do the Cardinals do about a guy named Aaron Donald? Like, the last time he played, the dude dominated the football game. So what do they do about him? What do they do about Jalen Ramsey, who the last time they played did not play? What do they do about Cooper Kupp? What do they do about Von Miller? I mean, there's so many guys that the Cardinals have to figure out what they are going to do with against the Rams. The Cardinals don't have those guys. Ever since J.J. Watt has gone out, this is a very different defense. And I know we like to make these games about the quarterbacks. I know we do. I know we think it's Kyler versus Matthew. For me, this game is very much so a Sony Michel, Cam Akers game. It's a very much so a Sean McVay in being disciplined with his play calling. Like, I think that the Rams should go for over
100. The interceptions from Matthew Stafford, though.
What did you say, Charlie, the interceptions?
I said McVay, he can make all the great plays he wants, but if Stafford continues to throw interceptions like he has on the past multiple occasions, what's he going to do about that?
Yeah, Charlie, we don't talk about Matthew's interceptions like we don't talk about Bruno, like in Encanto. We don't talk about Bruno.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
That's good for your argument.
Don't run from it.
Matthew can't have giveaways. I am a person who believes that not all turnovers are equal. Like, they aren't. Sometimes turnovers, I have always said this, don't talk to me about turnovers, talk to me about what your team does with turnovers. If Matthew throws two interceptions and their defense makes stops and the Cardinals get 0 points out of it, it's not going to be tremendously impactful on the football game. So he can't have giveaways, you know, kind of reckless plays. Obviously, the pick six, those cannot happen. So I believe that they won't, though. Like, that's my issue, or kind of my sticking point is I believe that they are not going to have giveaways that are kind of negatively impacting their football game. I don't think that you have to be worried about the Cardinals. You're the better football team. If you play your game and you play it well, and the Cardinals play their game and they play it well, the Rams win this football game because they are the better talented team, or more talented team, and they are the better coached football team.
You have anywhere to go with that?
Listen, I think I just point to, you're talking about divisional opponents that know each other well. Yes, they know all about Aaron Donald. They know all about Jalen Ramsey. Yes, but have you spoke about Chandler Jones on the other side? You got to deal with that moss on the other side as well. So there's a lot of matchups in this game. There's no question about it. You know, the rushing attack, I think, you know, can Sean McVay run the ball against the Arizona Cardinals? I think that's going to be something that's going to be big for the Los Angeles Rams as well.
They should be hitting their head on the goalpost. If you watch this run defense over the past 6-7 weeks, specifically last week in Seattle, they should be banging their head on the goalpost.
They should be. I think, are they going to be disciplined enough to run the football against the Arizona Cardinals? But again, I go back to your boy Matthew Stafford and the turnovers. That's going to be
like
the key.
The Cardinals in this
I
game?
Think it's going to be the key.
The Cardinals have the better record against playoff teams so far this season.
No, yeah. I like the Rams. I'm picking the Rams in this game, but I'm just saying the fact that you're saying should the Rams shouldn't have to worry about the Cardinals? No, I'm not going there.
Hey, man, let me ask you a question. Do you guys use that room in your home? Does anybody actually use that that room in your home?
Yeah. One of these days, I'm gonna play a few notes for you over here. I'm gonna get on this baby grand, Charlie, and play a few notes.
Charlie, you know what that room is? You know, Woody's not rich. Woody is wealthy. That is a room for a wealthy.
Listen, you know what that's usually referred to? That's called the great room, which is exactly why D Wood's sitting in it, right? You like that?
Hey, greatness, baby. Greatness.
That's what it's all about. Okay, we are set to have 5 quarterbacks, gentlemen, who are going to make their first career playoff starts this weekend. And it bears mentioning that the last quarterback to win the Super Bowl in the same postseason he made his first career playoff start in was Tom Brady back in 2001. So the list right in front of you: Carr, Murray, Burrow, Hurts, and Jones. So, Dan, which of these quarterbacks who are getting their first postseason start do you trust the least?
Well, it's Kyler Murray, because the Cardinals are most dependent on him as well. Mm-hmm. The truth is this. I love Kyler Murray. I think he's spectacular. I've loved him since the day he declared to become a football player, not a baseball player. Without DeAndre Hopkins, he has been average, at best, average. And there's a lot of moving parts to that. Or there's a lot of variables and reasons to that. Number one, DeAndre Hopkins is one of the 2 or 3 best receivers in football. So when you had DeAndre Hopkins, this was an offense that was incredible. You know, Kyler was phenomenal when it comes to just completing the football. I think he led the NFL in completion percentage when he had DeAndre Hopkins. Ever since DeAndre's gone, that's down to like 65%. Woody mentioned this before. Ever since DeAndre has been hurt, this is a bad team in the red zone offensively. Bad. They're like, I think he's completing somewhere around 35% of his passes in the red zone without DeAndre Hopkins. And this is a team that is this is not a team that, you know, has multiple pieces or schematically can be reliant on something else. outside of their quarterback. You know, they ask a lot of Kyler. He's going to have to be tremendous in this football game for them to win, both as a thrower and situationally, completion down in red zone, but also he's going to have to use his legs in designed runs and creative runs when nothing's there. So I just, you know, ever since Hop has been out, you've seen the decline in play in a lot of different areas. And I think that's the reality is this. DeAndre Hopkins, this offense was built around him and Kyler Murray. When you lose one of those pieces, 50% of the kind of the juice or the fear of this offense has been taken away. And I just don't trust that they are good enough offensively when it comes to the reliance that they have on Kyler Murray to kind of go make that happen. So that's why I say Kyler.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mac Jones. Because I think, you know, Mac Jones, we talk about the different ways that Kyler Murray can beat you. You know, obviously, you know, with his arm and with his legs. Obviously, we know what DeAndre Hopkins means to that offense and how it's hampered Kyler Murray. But on the same token, when you look at Mac Jones, that running game and that offensive line is so huge for Mac Jones and how the game is dictated as far as the New England Patriots are concerned. And so for me, the question I always had with Mac Jones is, can you get into a duel? Can you go toe-to-toe with another elite quarterback? And I just go back to the Bills game, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, with Josh Allen on the field. We saw Josh Allen basically put his team on his shoulder and win that game up at Foxborough. Mac Jones couldn't do that. It was clear as day who was the better quarterback on that field, and was Josh Allen. So when we get to the postseason here in the postseason, you're facing the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, in the postseason. Without New England's rushing attack, if Buffalo's able to corral New England's rushing attack, do you think Mac Jones can go head-to-head with Josh Allen?
Fair.
That's
going to be cold out there, Damian. It's going to be cold. The weather's definitely going to play a factor as well. You know that. And Josh
Absolutely,
Allen, but, he doesn't, Josh he is, Allen doesn't play well when it's cold out. Not this cold, at least.
Well, but here's the thing, though, Charlie. See, Josh Allen can run. He can run with the football. That's what makes Josh Allen so special, is not only is he can play within the pocket, but the plays outside the pocket, the design runs. You know, to me, Brian Daboll, if he doesn't have the design runs dialed up, then that's just criminal. Because you got to take care, you got to respect all aspects of Josh Allen's game, and I expect them to do that. So that's why I go with Mac Jones in this situation, because I think as far as everything he brings to the table, He's a little bit more limited and relies upon that New England Patriots rushing attack.
Mm-hmm. But one other thing he can rely on is his coach, which we all keep talking about. You can never really count against Bill Belichick. So that'll be a fun game to watch. And definitely I'm feeling for everyone on the field because it is going to be so cold. I just get chilly thinking about it. Damian, keep being great.
Oh, it's going to be a spring day up in there.
What's that?
It's going to be a spring day up in LA. That's how we rolling.
Okay, if you say so. Well, you look like you're staying warm inside your house. So we will see you later. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
I am.
Thank you so much. Okay, let's keep it rolling here on First Take.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I'll figure it out. And that's that. Like, nothing I haven't happened to me before. Got a game on Friday. Best thing about the NBA. Get a chance to kind of go back to the drawing board, look at how you can be effective, at least from the scoring side of it, and make adjustments and then figure out ways to be able to, you know, just make a shot. That's it.
Yeah, you're definitely not happy, and adjustments need to be made. Here's time for some quick takes. Rush shooting 2-for-14 from the field in a loss to the Kings. So, Jay, what is up with Westbrook?
He's been 0-15 over his last six games from the three-point line. And think about this, Charlie. There's an average of 8.3 feet of space that defenders are keeping away from him when he's on a three-point line. What does that mean? They're stacking the paint, waiting for him to either drive or waiting for LeBron James to drive. This is a major problem for the Lakers.
And so need to mix up those shots. Okay, Monica, your turn. RJ Barrett going off for the Knicks, snapping Dallas's six-game win streak last night. How important is Barrett to the Knicks' success?
Hugely important, Charlie. And I just want to say I really liked those shades that Russ had on in the presser. But RJ Barrett has had three 30-point games in the last five games for this New York Knicks squad. Folks don't know, but before he got hit with COVID protocol, he was starting to find his rhythm. He was shooting the ball better from the outside. But what is key to RJ's game is that he's aggressive and attacks the paint. He has a great knack for finishing through contact, and then that opens up everything else for him.
Yeah, and Monica, he actually is the youngest player in Knicks history with consecutive 30-point games, so that's pretty cool. Okay, next one, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown combining for 67 points in a win over the Pacers. So, Jay, is this a sign of optimism for the Celtics?
Anybody out there saying, hey, we should break these two up, like, what are you talking about? You have two wing prolific scorers. Now, the question is, will Jaylen Brown be able to acquiesce to a degree to Jason Tatum, or should he? Would I rather have two dynamic wing scorers and find pieces that can fit around these two than actually ask the question about whether we should split them up? So, yes, there is optimism between two of the youngest, best potential scorers in the league.
And lots of optimism coming last night from our own Kendrick Perkins. I saw him on Twitter. He was very happy to see this performance last night.
I'm with you, Perk.